Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated, and if you would, take out your Bibles
or your cell phones or whatever you're going to use there. I can't get used to that.
Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In verse number 17, and you can kind of back up there in the verses, it says, But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, but not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did, and again, but Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. Amen. Chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to go ahead and read on through these verses this morning and kind of follow along with me. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all of our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Amen. Father in heaven, let your blessings be upon your word today. You gave me a sense of direction for this passage, and that says to me that you have an intent towards some life or lives in this room. May your will be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. When Paul realized that he couldn't return to Thessalonica, he sent Timothy. Because of his great concern for them, and in the midst of this passage, he kind of unpackages the reason. I will tell you that I thought that I was going to be in a different place this morning because the Lord laid on my heart that I was to talk to you about one of those constants. You remember a couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you about time. How many remember that message? Okay. Glad to know a couple still hang on to it. Time is one of the constants in spiritual life. It is one of those things that shape out our Christian life. I want to give you a second one this morning, and that's choice. We all understand choice. We make choices constantly. In this passage, the Lord illuminated to my heart that though He doesn't mention the choices that they have, He acknowledges the choices that they had. Choices are what caused Paul to have concern over the church. Leon Morris says it like this: God has no need of marionettes. He pays men the compliment of allowing them to live without Him if they choose. But if they live without Him in this life, they must also live without Him in the next. A statement, and I don't know who said it first, because many have used it, but a statement that has stuck in me for a lifetime is simply this: we make our choices, and then our choices make us. I could recount to you this morning countless decisions that I made that shaped not only my life, but the life of my family in financial ways, physical ways, emotional ways, spiritual ways, in everything. Single choices that were made that changed our lives completely. You and I all make choices constantly. The outcome of those choices can mean the difference of how we live out the rest of our lives. And I've been thinking a great deal, because some of the things that we have going on in the news media today don't make sense. Anybody else feel that way? I mean, in some issues, you've got things coming down on both sides, and you really don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying. But we are also compelled to make choices. Week from Tuesday, if you haven't already voted, you'll have an opportunity to make a choice of who will serve in the Senate and the President of the United States and Vice President. Important decisions, I believe, for our country and for the welfare of our country and for the church itself. You know, I began to think, and even with this COVID situation that is going on, you know, there's a lot of choices being made along with that, and there's no judgment here, because it's too fluid. We don't know, you don't know what's around the next corner. So saying one decision is right and another decision is wrong is not quite fair. But you know, I began to kind of think about some things, and I looked up and got just a little bit of research. You know, the speak today is that 220,000 people have died of COVID, and it has shaken and moved. And you talk about choices that have been made by our government officials and all of that, shaped because of this virus that is going on. But I was thinking about some things in comparison of choices that are being made that are costing lives. Do you know there are 6.3 million accidents every year in the United States? Auto accidents at a cost of $230 billion. 90 people die each day. 40% of those accidents are caused by drunk drivers. You know, it's interesting, because one of the first things that many of the governments opened up were the taverns and the packaged liquor places. And one of the places that they're still standing against is the church. Choices. There are 480,000 deaths per year as a result of smoking. You walk into any convenience store, any grocery store, and the shelves are loaded with cigarettes. What does our government do? I'm not preaching against smoking this morning. I'm preaching about choices. What does our government do? They add more tax to get more revenue, but they don't take them from the shelves. I'll give you one more that is staggering to me. I only have the 2017 statistic on this, but it's hair-raising. 862,320 babies were killed by choice. Since 1973 through 2018, 61.8 million babies have been killed by choice. Now, folk, tell me that the choices that we're making do not stand to be important. And you know as well as I do that the whole fight and the whole argument over each one of those things is people's choice to be able to do it. I have to tell you this morning that by selfishness, by whatever you want to say, people are making severe choices. I will say this, and without any reservation this morning, I'm not telling you how to vote. I wouldn't dare go down that path. But I will tell you this. I believe that the dividing line, if you will, that is arisen in our country is over abortions. I believe in a woman's right to choose. She should choose when she is going to be intimate with a man. I know I'm in muddy waters this morning, but I don't care. You know, folk, listen, the world will speak against our choices to serve the Lord Jesus and to stand up for Him and to stand up for human life. They will call us ignorant. They'll call us all kinds of names. That's fine. I want to take a stand this morning. I'm for life. Because life came from God. David says, "You knit me in my mother's womb." God was at work in creating David in his mother's womb. Choice? Yes, I believe in choice. But there comes a place when a baby is conceived. The choice now is to sustain that life with every hope and everything that we have. Sorry, I didn't intend to go down that far, but I believe it's something that needs to be on the record as we face this election and as we face this time. We are either for life or we are against life. And I will say to any who may be in this room who have had an abortion, that does not mean that the loving forgiveness of our Lord is not available. It doesn't mean that we do not care about you and what you have been through, but we will stand for life. There's something that makes this incredible. See, Paul could see this, and if time will permit me, I want to try to unpackage this morning, but let me begin here. And that is the fact that we as believers, just like the church at Thessalonica, we are chosen. Now that's important. Jesus said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." We need to get that. We need to get that fixed inside of us. John 15:16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, eternal fruit." Now, I will say this truth does not belong to everyone. John 13:18. "I'm not referring," Jesus said, "to all of you. I know those I have chosen." So there is a group of people. You can't go by the labels. You can't even go by some confessions. You ask people across the United States, are you a Christian? Yes. Now fewer and fewer, more and more, are claiming to be atheists rather than to be Christians. But for years and years and years, if you ask somebody here in the United States, what faith are you? You say, well, I'm a Christian. But you have to be careful about the labels because they don't always indicate what's on the inside. Jesus said, I have chosen. And those I have chosen, I have affected. I've made a change in them. I can tell you this morning, you can walk through all the water that you want to go through and have all the words said over you that we preachers could say. That's not the key. The key is that you have been chosen of the Lord and you accept His choice. We're chosen according to His will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In Him you were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. In other words, God has a purpose that He's fulfilling, and He sends His word, sends His gospel to those that He intends to use. He's a purposeful God. He doesn't redeem people by accident or for no reason. If God has chosen you, you sense His choosing upon your life, you can know this. God has a purpose for your life. Now, that's not to say whether or not you fulfill the purpose, because that's where the choice comes back onto us. He chooses to redeem us. He chooses to use us. But we may choose to go about our own business. The chosen by God are offered a revelation of who God is. Luke 10:22, all things have been committed to me by my Father, Jesus said. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. So let me tell you something. If you know about Jesus today, it's because God wants you to know about Jesus. You know, sometimes we get a little overtaken by our choice in this. I have chosen to serve the Lord. Well, you need to realize that first, God chose to bring the revelation of His Son, Jesus, to you. There are scores of people all over this world who do not even know the name of Jesus. You know what enters my mind immediately when I think about the fact that the Lord has chosen us to receive His word, and He has chosen us unto whom much is given. What? Much will be required. Why? Because God has revealed Himself to us. I hope you can see this morning, and this must preface every spiritual decision and every decision that we make in our lives is the fact that God has chosen us. If you are numbered among the redeemed this morning, if you truly are Christ-like, a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're among the chosen of God. The enemy of your soul may try to tell you that you're nothing. He may try to diminish you. He may try to diminish your capabilities or how you can be used. But you can turn around and tell him he's a liar from the pit of hell, because God chose you. Hallelujah. And as you're making your choices, remember, you were chosen by God. We use this scripture a lot, so you know it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. I was lost. I was in darkness. I was nothing. And God searched me out and found me and saved me by his incredible grace. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. You need, and I need, to remember that. Why? Because, you see, it will affect every other choice that we make in our lives. C.S. Lewis talked about his transformation in this way. He said, in surprised by joy, I wrote that before God closed in on me, I was offered what now appears a moment of wholly free choice. But I feel my decision was not so important. I was the object rather than the subject in this affair. In other words, I was decided upon. I love that old spiritual. I have decided to follow Jesus. Huh? I have decided to follow Jesus. I love that. But I also realize that's not really the important part of that. He decided. He decided to bring his word to my life. Is anybody in this house thankful this morning that the Lord chose you? Anybody in here, you could give him a shout of praise and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for choosing me. Thank you for redeeming me. Oh, hallelujah. You see, this is what choices are all about in our lives. Coming to first the understanding that God has chosen us. The Thessalonica choice, is found there in verses 5 and 6. I read it to you for this reason. When I could stand it no longer, Paul said, I sent to find out about your faith. Why was he concerned about them? He had preached the gospel to them. They had accepted Christ as their Savior, and yet he was away from them and he was concerned about them. How come? Because they had choices. Paul's concern for the church was first of all over their faith. Questions like this: would they still believe because they were young in the Lord when he left them? He was only with them a short time. They accepted Christ and then he had to move on. He's using words like strengthen and encourage to speak of his desire for their faith. Secondly, would discouragement steal the seeds of faith planted in the soil of their hearts? How many know some discouragement? Anybody up there in the balcony, you know discouragement? Yeah. Discouragement sometimes can put a hole or steal our faith in the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, would the trials of their spiritual father cast doubts on their relationship with God? Because, see, when he left them, he underwent tremendous persecution, beatings, and everything as he went forward to spread the gospel. And that message got back to them. And you know what they were saying? I can't take you to the text right now in the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians. But you know what they were saying? They were saying, well, if he was really a man of God, if he was really an apostle, he wouldn't be suffering the way he's suffering. That's confused thinking. But nevertheless, it is something that can tear people from their faith. And so because he was absent from them and across the Mediterranean Sea from them, he was concerned that perhaps they had lost their faith. Would their faith hold through the trials? You see, the trial of faith can work benefit, James tells us. It can increase us. It can lead us forward to maturity. But trials of our faith can also turn us in the other direction to where we give up on our faith. James said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, when he has stood the test, when he has made the right choices, he will receive a crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. We need to understand. What about those that fail in trials? Listen, the Lord chose us. Warts and all. He is ready to redeem us from our failures if our faith in Him will hold. Anybody in here ever fail? Good, I've got some company. See, there's another place where discouragement, you think, oh my goodness, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried in this thing and I just keep failing. I just keep getting discouraged. I keep, you know, just getting overwhelmed by life and life circumstance. There's just no use. Yes, there is. You have been chosen by God. Let that affect you. That even in your failures, you just come back. You come back and say, Lord Jesus, I messed up. I made some bad choices. Here I am. Dottie Rambo wrote a song many years ago, and some of you that are older in the things of the Lord know it. It's me again, Lord. Huh? It's me again. I got a prayer that needs an answer. I got a problem that I can't solve. I've got a failure in my life that I can't do anything about. It's me again. And because He chose us, knowing our weaknesses, knowing our struggles, and can I tell you this, knowing the end in the beginning, you and I can have tremendous hope. Paul, all this distance from the church at Thessalonica, he was worried over all those new converts that he left behind. I wonder if their faith is still holding. I wonder if they're still making good choices. I'm wondering if they remember that they were chosen by God, that they have been bought and paid for. I'm wondering. So he instead of taking Timothy with him to Athens, he said, I went there by myself. And can I tell you, that was a terrible mistake. It was a discouraging time for him. And one of the reasons why it was discouraging is because he didn't have anybody with him. He was all alone when he was in Athens. But he did that because of his care for the church at Thessalonica. The second reason he was concerned of them, he was concerned about their love. Yes, their love for God, certainly, but also their love for him. He said, I don't know if they'll still love me. I don't know if they'll still receive the message that I brought to them. I don't know if it will still be relevant. Because, see, there have been other voices speaking to them since I left. And everything about my life has been negative from their perspective. He was also concerned. You can see in verse 12, he said, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. He was concerned about their love for one another. Let me give you just a brief description, if you will, of the influences that affect choices, because they're here in this passage. First of all, Paul expresses his fear that the tempter will lead the church astray. See there in verse 5, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. The enemy of our souls loves to steal, to kill, and destroy. How many have seen that in a life? Painful watch, isn't it? When you see somebody with a habit that is destructive to their life, you see them get free, but then you watch as that thing draws them back, many times until it is absolute disaster in their life. It's hard to watch, isn't it? I mean, it just hurts your heart. You think, oh no, don't go back there. Don't go back to that. It's because the enemy of their soul knows where their weakness is, and that's what he puts out in front of them, and they make a bad choice. The enemy works very hard in influencing our decisions because, you see, he understands the power of our choices. I can't go deep down this road. I've talked to you about this at some point, but I remember 1974, a couple of years ago. I came out of the Navy. I was working at a refinery. I bought a brand new car, and it was to be delivered that afternoon. I went into the credit union at the refinery and got the check in the morning to pay for that car. And all of a sudden, the Lord started dealing with my heart. If you get the car, you will never go back into ministry. You see, I'd gone a year to Bible school before I went into the Navy. If you get the car, you'll never go back to Bible school. You will not be in the ministry. Oh, yes, I will. Huh? Oh, sure. I'm just working here to get to build up some money. And then we're going to go back. No, you won't. Clear as a bell. The Lord who chose me was giving me a choice of what I would do with my life from that point forward. One of the hardest things I ever did was to, in the afternoon, and listen, it took some hours. It took some hours because the Lord just laid it down on the table. Here's your choice. And the enemy, of course, is speaking, you've wanted that car for a long time. And think how humiliated you're going to be when you take it back into that credit union and lay that check down. You're going to be so humiliated. They're going to make fun of you on and on and on and on. Huh? You may not know this exact scenario, but how many have been there before where you came to a choice? I always thought, Lord, why couldn't you talk to me before? Huh? I'm sure he was. I couldn't hear him. It wasn't until that very moment that I started listening to his voice. When I turned that check back in, I had sold my car, so I had no car. So I had to get an old Chrysler 300 off the bulletin board and buy it from the guy there so that I would have something to drive home. Beautiful part of that was that it was huge. It had a great trunk and back seat in it, so we filled it all up. And within just a few weeks, we were headed back to Springfield to go to school, and our lives have been on God's course for those next 42, 43 years. A single choice. You say, oh, God wouldn't do that. It happens all the time in our lives, folks. And the enemy is working to influence. The world is working to influence our choices. Allowing the Holy Spirit to influence the choices of our lives always brings the best results. It begins with realizing you were chosen by God. Timothy came to Paul and shared with him that the church was strong, their faith was holding, they still loved him. He said, isn't life good? That's what he said. He says, life is good. Praise the Lord. Stand with me, would you? I cannot in any way underscore for you the importance of this feeble message. The truth of this message is more important than my ability to convey it. What Paul realized with the church at Thessalonica was that their faith was holding. Their faith was holding through a lot of choices that they had to make. You know, as a pastor, that is my victory. When I see you making good choices because you realize that you're chosen of the Lord and your faith holds. You know, I think really in our testimony time on Wednesday night, we really ought to focus more on this. It sounds something like this. You know, pastor, you know, congregation, this week I had a choice to make. I was being drawn by sin. I was being drawn by the things of this world. I was being drawn in this direction, but I chose to stand with Jesus. And then all the church goes, hallelujah! Doesn't it say rejoice with those who rejoice? Or maybe to say, I made a difficult and bad choice this week, but I'm looking to the one who chose me for redemption, for renewal, for new strength. Amen? Let's just do it. We've got a moment. How many of you this week can think back over the course of the last week to say, you know what? I made a choice to serve the God who chose me. Anybody? Yes. Oh, come on, don't just wave at me. Hold it up there, because I'm going to ask everybody to look around. Come on, look around. It's okay, you can do that. You won't get COVID by just looking. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We should rejoice in the choices that we make for the Lord. I guarantee you, when you make a bad one, you're going to grieve. If you really belong to the Lord and you make a bad choice, your heart's going to grieve. So why not rejoice when we make a good one? And see, in this house and among God's people, there is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. So as we confess our faults, as we confess our weaknesses, as we confess our bad choices, we stand together and we renew in prayer, confession, stand in the presence of the Lord, and we rejoice in redemption. I wonder if there are those who would lift a hand this morning and say, I made some bad choices this week. There we go. Yeah, we do want to just kind of wave on that one, don't we? Would you mind if we prayed over you right now? Maybe you have never, the voice of the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you, maybe when these kids were being baptized, and you were thinking, you know, I've never been baptized myself. I've never accepted Jesus. He's here. He's ready. And that voice that you've heard inside of you calling to you, that's Jesus. That's His Holy Spirit saying, come unto me. Come unto me. All you have to do is just make a good choice and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I accept. And then look out, because He wants to be a companion to you for the rest of your life. So this morning I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray for those that made some bad choices this week, but I'm also going to pray for those that may be standing here and you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. You can do it right there where you're at, safe. Oh, you couldn't have a safer thing than to find Jesus right where you're at. Come on, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you care enough about us that you would bring truth to us on this Sunday morning. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you. Sometimes, God, I don't know why you do. I don't know why you would choose me. But thank you that you did. And I believe that that's echoed by every person that lifted their hand saying that they made some bad choices this week. I pray, Lord, that they would do their first works over again. That as they confess their bad choice to you, you said you would be faithful to forgive and to cleanse. So right now, Lord, right now, as they give their bad choice to you, pour in forgiveness. Bless them, O Lord, with your presence. For Lord, it's you that chose us. It doesn't matter what other people think. It matters what you think, what you have done. And you paid an incredible price, Lord Jesus, for our forgiveness. And the work is done. So we receive from you right now the forgiveness for our bad choice. And we pray in the name of Jesus that this week would be filled with good choices. Moment by moment, decision by decision, day by day, as we make those decisions, we're going to rejoice in you and give you the praise and the honor and the glory, just like the Apostle Paul did over the church at Thessalonica when he heard that their faith was holding because of good choices. Bless us as we leave this house this morning. Go with us, Lord, this week, and may we remember we're a chosen people. May it affect our lives. In Jesus' name.